From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. If you're a black man who happens to be a star athlete or musician, you're bound to get a lot of exposure. But many African American men and boys are still struggling to live a more modest version of the American dream. A Columbia University professor found that a majority of black male teens don't finish high school. Less than 1 in 5 go to college while they're between the ages of 18 and 21. Some say the legacy of slavery created a structural racism that still makes it hard for black men and boys to get a fair shot. For years, churches, schools, civil rights groups, and foundations have offered young men opportunities. Now a high-visibility player has joined in. George Soros's Open Society Institute announced the Campaign for Black Male Achievement last week. Sean Dove heads that campaign, and he joins us now. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Farai. How are you?
I'm great. So give me a sense of whether or not things are getting better or worse for young black men and boys.
Well, they certainly are getting worse, Farai. And what compounds it is that in this age of information and instant access to information and research, what the greater country is understanding and finally realizing is something that we have known in the black community for some time, that our boys and men are at peril, and that conditions have not gotten better when in the greater American society in different races we've seen advances in economic upturn.
Now, who are we seeing who's new on the scene in terms of trying to do outreach? I mean, we've seen at different points schools doing mentoring programs, civil rights activists doing mentoring. Who are we seeing sort of stepping into the breach now?
I think what we're seeing, Farai, is a number of private philanthropic organizations, foundations, who have implicitly helped black men and boys through their grant making over the years, begin to decide that they want to create targeted grant making strategies to support African American men and boys. So we're seeing organizations like the Ford Foundation, the Schott Foundation for Public Education, 21st Century Foundation, of course, the Open Society Institute, Charles Hayden Foundation. There are a number of foundations that are looking at this issue and are directing resources and strategies for direct service, advocacy, and policy work.
The Open Society Institute has done a number of things, but one of those has been to focus on international democracy. Why? This seems in some ways like a little bit of a left turn for the foundation. Why was this important?
Well, I wouldn't say that's a left turn. When you look at the values and principles of the Open Society, I think it's clear that as an organization and what we stand for, we could not stand by and not do anything with this issue. When you look at black men and boys, we are at the bottom of every social, educational, economic indicator. And so what we're doing with the Black Male Achievement, the Campaign for Black Male Achievement, this is really in line with our principles and our mission.
We've seen Senator Barack Obama talk recently about fatherhood, and that's something that we're going to talk about a little bit later with our next guest. But how does the issue of fatherhood, who's at home, who's in contact, who's mentoring within the family, affect black boys particularly?
I think the whole notion of fatherhood is really at one of the issues that are at the heart of what we are seeing in our community. When fathers are in prison, when fathers are unable to seek and gain employment and are able to be leaders in their community, that certainly has a direct, if not trickle-down effect on the growth and development of young people. Our country is made up of a bunch of communities, and communities are made up of families. And if we are looking at African-American families where 7 out of 10 children are born out of wedlock or without a father in the home, that's going to have a serious negative impact on the stability of the families and the growth and stability of the community.
How do you deal with the question of save the parent, to heck with the child? That's been a criticism of some programs where it's like, you know, we're going to, you know, focus on the fathers. We're not going to focus on the kids, or the reverse in some programs. We're going to focus on the kids, not the fathers. Do you try to integrate this approach?
I think to reverse the issues and negative outcomes, there has to be a holistic strategy. we cannot address the issues and problems of mother and child in a vacuum or father in a vacuum. There has to be an interdisciplinary approach that we are building and working and responding to the needs of the entire family, whether the father is in the home or not, whether the father is just released from prison and is he getting the reentry services and job training placement that he needs, because that impacts directly on how he is able to provide for and support for his children.
Well, Sean, thanks so much. Sean Dove heads the Open Society Institute's campaign for Black male achievement. He joined us from our NPR New York Bureau, and we've heard about one major foundation's efforts to impact the lives of Black boys and young men. Now we go to the trenches. Cornelius Ellen is a project coordinator for the Grand Boulevard Federation. That's a community-based organization serving at-risk youth in Chicago. Welcome, Cornelius.
Thank you for having me.
So we just talked a little bit with Sean Dove of the Open Society Institute. Do you think big foundations in general to this date have stepped up to try to coordinate with grassroots organizations?
Yes, they've stepped up, but it's a matter of, is the funding going to be top-heavy? Is it going to go to the organizers like myself, or is it going to actually the money going to reach the youth or the initiatives that these projects have?
Let's talk a little bit about your work. What exactly does the Grand Avenue Federation do?
Grand Boulevard? We have a lot of different programs. We have an asthma health program. We have Safety Networks for the community that addresses the older Black men and boys from who are out of high school and who are young adults who still need guidance. We also have a positive youth development initiative and also my initiative, which specifically works with lower performing high school and feeder school and elementary school.
Give me an example of how one of the students that you work with has reacted to the work that you do, maybe been has changed his life expectations.
I think one student who was very good at athletics just expected to be good at basketball and then expect to go to a big college, like, say, a UCLA or something like that. Well, I had to stress to him that still you have to qualify academically for some of these schools, you know, and he had to get his act together. And I made sure that he was completing his assignments before practice, turning in assignments on time, making it to school on time. He wasn't the only project. I just put him together with a lot of other students, and we made it a requirement for our athletic program, our student athletes, to meet an hour before practice to do their homework and everything.
Now, you have three children. Two of them are boys, and so how do you use what you've learned as a parent to help the young men that you're working with?
From my mistakes when I was younger. My father did not complete high school, but he was always a working man. So I always saw that. I always saw the effort, and I didn't relate it to the education until I got to be a young adult when I entered college, and then I dropped out of college. And then I, got into the work world because I thought that that's why I'm going to school, so I can get a good job. Well, I found a good job. You know, I'm making decent money, but then, you know, I saw the glass ceiling. I wasn't getting promoted. And I needed my education. So what I try to stress to our students is the same thing. You're going to school to get your education to further your career or whatever else you want to do. You don't necessarily have to go to college, but you always have to have a plan, you know, whether it's college or whether it's the workforce. So you have to always keep yourself trained and available, especially with the technology out here. You can't be stuck not being able to use a computer now, even to fill out applications.
You're in Chicago, where Barack Obama has roots, spent so much of his time. Do you see his campaign and the attention that people are paying to it helping young Black men and boys have different aspirations for their life?
I do, in a way. It's of course, someone for them to look up to. But as far as the backgrounds, the kids' backgrounds that I work with are different. They're not going to relate to his background. They might say, well, he had everything or things like that. So they're going to, look at him as like, oh, it's great for, black men and boys, you know, as far as someone to look up to, and they're not going to say, wow, you know, I could be president now. You know, I think they know better than that. They're smarter than that.
So if they're not thinking to themselves, I could be president now, regardless of whether or not they want to be president, but mm-hmm. they're not thinking that that's a goal, a reasonable goal, what are they looking to and who are they looking to?
They have to, it has to be somebody that they're in constant contact with. You have to have male leadership within the school system, within the community, so they can look, you know, so those people can be tangible. They're probably never going to meet Barack Obama. They'll always see him on TV or on a T-shirt because we've, you know, infiltrated our streets with his face and his name, which is fabulous for them. But, you know, if we don't have people that they can call on at any given time when they're in trouble or people that they can talk to throughout the day, then they're going to turn to those streets. And the streets are always, you know, they're 24 hours, as we know. So they're going to go to those people on the streets and get that misled guidance.
Do you think that you're making a difference? You're succeeding?
I hope I am. I believe I am. I've had a lot of youth tell me that they started thinking more about college because that's all I talk about, or the things that they want. You know, they can, you know, if they're in grade school, they say, oh, I want this big house like Deion Sanders, you know, because they got the MTV and, you know, they're showing all this stuff on TV that, of course, the kids want. But I'm like, you know, how are you going to get there? You know, Deion went to school, you know, things like that. And they go, oh, okay, I didn't realize that. You know, they just figure that he was just a great athlete and that's what they're going to do, or they're going to rap or sing or whatever, but they always have to have a plan. I told them, I was like, you know, you have to be able to count your own money and look at your, be able to read your own contracts.
Cornelius, thank you so much.
Okay.
Cornelius Ellen is a project coordinator for the Grand Boulevard Federation. It's a community-based organization serving at-risk youth in Chicago.